that battered and torn the sails. The hungry waves were crashing down. My soul was tossed and driven on. I was lost and helpless. No hope could I see. But then came Jesus, walking on the water. My ship was sinking in the storms of life. He whispered, peace, be still, and calm the sea. Oh, then came Jesus, and he rescued me. The sea was calm as I sailed the ocean deep. The restless waves had no power over me. With my Savior as my guide, there was no harm from the surging tide. But in my pride, I went my own way, away from His side. But then came Jesus, walking on the water. My ship was sinking in the storms of life. He whispered, peace, be still, and calm the sea. Oh, then came Jesus, and he rescued me. Pilot me over life's raging sea. The way unknown, let me hide myself in thee. And someday on heaven's shore, there'll be no rocks, no thunder roar. I'll hear, well done, child, you're home now, you're safe evermore. My Jesus came walking on the water. My ship was sinking in the storms of life. He whispered, peace, be still, and calm the sea. Oh, then came Jesus, and he rescued me. Oh, then came Jesus, and he rescued me.
Lord, that's good, Dave. Thank you. Is that one of... Yeah. That pastor out in California, his name is Stephen Ray Nichols, and he pastors in, Sacramento? Is it Sacramento? Regency, California? He is, he's written a whole bunch of songs and has some CDs. Man, the guy can sing. He can sing. And I've gotten some of his CDs from somebody and enjoyed them and passed them on to a couple of the fellows. I think Tony listened to one and Dave. And I appreciate them singing some of those songs because he's got some great songs. There's one of them. He writes them. And I think he wrote that one. And so he did a great job. He, in fact, his wife... He is the sister of the woman who's coming here to talk at the ladies' meeting this Friday night. His wife was a Dion. Brother Dion has been in Great Falls, Montana. I don't know how many years, Brother Larry, going on 40 years, sir. 30 to 40 years. He is, and boy, Montana's not a whole lot of churches out there. But he has been a key man in that state for churches, and so his wife. His daughter is married to Stephen Ray Nichols, and then his daughter is also, the other daughter, married to brother, the same daughter is not married to two men, it's two daughters, amen. And so I wanted to make sure that was clear, right? And you never know what would be put on the internet and sent around the country, you know. And so anyway, polygamy is usually a man has more than one wife, but this would be a woman with several husbands. And I think that would be a disaster, ladies, wouldn't it, amen? So, all right. I like the Bible way, don't you? one man for one woman. So, very good. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and are we sounding okay? It sounds a little loud to me, but I'm okay if you're okay. You okay? Everybody okay? Not too loud? Not blaring? Okay, very good. Let's pray together. Dear Father, thank you for the privilege to have the service tonight, for the good music, the prayer time. Pray again, Lord, for all the names that we added this evening. And in particular, we pray for Jeannie. We pray, Lord, there would be no need for radiation or chemotherapy. We pray the same thing for her that you did miraculously for Joyce, and pray that you'll bless all these folks, Lord. Touch their bodies. Help them. Be with them, Lord. Be with the other requests. Be with Jamie tonight and Bob and the loss of their baby and so many people, Lord, that need your touch, and be with the unspoken needs. And then, Lord, be with this brief lesson tonight, and I pray that you'd encourage the people that need to be encouraged and help us with it. I pray in Jesus' name, and amen. In verse 27, Paul's writing, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way." Now, in the passage we just read there, Paul is making the point that God distributes many different gifts to people for use in the local church. Not everybody receives the same gift, okay? Not everybody receives the same gift. That's not a disgrace. And don't ever get jealous if somebody else maybe has a gift into using the church that you don't have, because, friend, it's God who distributes the gift, okay? And so don't get bummed out or been out of shape. God gives different gifts to different people. And let me encourage you to use your gift. And many of you do. And there's all kinds of gifts, and I'm not going into that tonight. But he is making the point that God distributes different gifts to different people for use in the local church. Now, when you get to verse number 29, he starts asking questions. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Now, the obvious answer to those questions is no. No. Not everybody was an apostle. Not everybody can preach or exhort. Not everybody had the gifts of tongues. That gift ended when we got the final verse of Revelation chapter 22, verse 21. They stopped. And that's done with. So people, that since the Bible was completed, nobody's had the gift of tongues. The obvious answer to these questions is no. Not everybody can preach and exhort. Not everybody has the gift of tongues. Not everybody was an apostle. And not everybody can teach. Not everybody can teach, because not everybody is given that gift. Now, everybody has a gift, but everybody doesn't have the same gift. Are all teachers? Well, no. Now, everybody has something to teach. Dr. Howes used to say, and I remember him saying often in college, a few things stuck with me. I had 4 years and thousands of dollars there, amen. A few things stuck with me from my brain not being numb from the schedule we kept and all that stuff. But Dr. Howes used to say this. He used to say, "All men know something I do not know. Hence, all men are my teachers." You say that often. "All men know something I do not know, hence all men are my teachers." From time to time, Ira will ride with me down to a meeting or something. If I'm preaching somewhere, I'm going to look at some things, and he'll drive. That brings you close to the Lord, man. You pray a lot, amen. And so I'm just teasing. But I love to listen to Ira, and I ask Ira about the history of the city of Chicago. I don't know anybody who knows more about the history of the city of Chicago than Ira Schaefer does. Blow you off the map with all he knows. I've learned so much from that guy. Now, all men know something I do not know. Hence, all men are my teachers. So everybody has something to teach, but not everybody can teach. Are all teachers? No. Now, I'm just saying that I want to say publicly, I am thankful for those, especially in our church family, who not only have something to teach, but they can teach what they have and what they know. And I'm referring especially tonight to the teachers who teach at the Faith Baptist Academy. Someone said, teaching is the profession that teaches all other professions. That's a good statement. Teaching is the profession that teaches all other professions. A person who makes a living as a linguist or a legal aide or as an author had somebody teach them English. So they might have a very flourishing profession, but somebody taught them. Somebody in the field of teaching taught them. A person who makes a living as an accountant or a banker or as a small business owner, or he bids jobs for a large construction company. Somebody had to teach him math. Now, he might be flourishing. He might be very good at what he does. But there was a day when somebody, he sat at somebody's feet. Somebody taught him. The chemist had somebody teach him science. My brother is flying all over the world. I just can't believe everywhere he goes. He's been promoted to a new position with Coke called the Global Group. And I mean, he's going, I can't believe where he's going and what he's doing. But my brother will tell you that he sat at the feet of some very able teachers when he was in school and learned science. The mortician might be good at what he does. But he had a teacher in mortuary school who taught him. Now, on and on and on the list goes. I look at you men sitting out here tonight, and many of you doing different professions and involved in different careers. You know, somebody taught you. So whoever said this is absolutely true. Teaching is the profession that teaches all other professions. Are all teachers? No. But thank God for the people who are teachers. And specifically again tonight, thank God for the ones that He has placed here to be a help and a blessing to the young people of our church, to be a help and a blessing to the families in our church who want to use the school as an opportunity to educate their children. You know, I was thinking, you know, we have folks that come in and out of the church, and even on Wednesday night here, we might have some folks who don't know the people that teach. I'm talking about now the ladies. I'm not talking about the guys that are on pastoral staff, like Mick and my brother, Brother Bragg, Brother Hall. I'm talking about the ladies who work full-time in teaching, okay? I don't know if you know, you might not know who they are, so I want them to stand. Glenda Payne, would you stand? Glenda teaches our kindergarten. She teaches a half a day, 5 days a week, and has done that for some time now, does a great job. Susie Mitchell, thank you, Glenda. Susie Mitchell teaches our first and second grade. This is her first year with, there you go, this is her first year with us, but she has been teaching for how many years? Your fifth year teaching, and she's a very capable teacher, and I'm glad for Susie. Next to her, Faith Capps, you know her. Faith teaches the third and fourth grade, does a tremendous job, has done that for several years now here, and did it for how many years in Texas, Faith? 4 years in Texas. So I appreciate her. That's a blessing. Leah Hall is sick tonight. Leah Hall's been sick all day. Leah, bless her heart, she's having a time with this pregnancy, and I asked the Lord to help her. She did. She comes in and toughs it out a lot of mornings, but she couldn't do it this morning. And Leah teaches our fifth and sixth grade, and then you come to our high school. Dawn Reardon, Dawn, if you'd stand, she teaches different subjects, teaches a lot of English, and then some of the junior high courses. Thank you, Dawn. And junior high, we have 7th and 8th together, 9th and 10th together, 11th and 12th grade together. Our senior teacher is senior in age, and Sharon, stand up, and if you will. Okay, thank you, Sharon. Amen. So teaches in the senior high division, does a great job. And I'm talking about these ladies who come in here and help us day after day. Of course, Joyce comes and helps with the girls' PE a couple days a week, I think. But I'm talking about now the ladies who are working here. And Brother Bragg and Brother Hall have other responsibilities besides the school here in the church. I'm talking about these folks, these ladies who teach in our academy on a day-to-day basis. I praise God for them. This is Teacher Appreciation Week. And I think today is Teacher Appreciation Day, I believe. And so I just wanted to say to them, I appreciate what they do. Somebody said, I read this some time ago, there are three good reasons to be a teacher: June, July, and August. And so I thought that was a good thing that I read somewhere. So I just want to say, are all teachers? No. Not everybody has the gift of teaching. You know, there's people that have knowledge, but they can't get it out. Okay? And so I thank God for these folks who are who are teaching in our academy. Now, let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Turn over there with me, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And look with me at verse number 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 12. All right? And, of course, Leah, as far as we know, all these ladies are coming back next year, except for Leah. She'll be having the baby. She wants to kind of do some fill-in work. Pardon me, I got this cough. I can't get rid of it. I don't know what it is. And I'm not going to quit smoking, so I guess I'm going to have to live with it. Amen. So, but anyway, I'm just teasing. All right. So, but Leah will not be back with us on a full-time basis. And we have some ladies we're looking at to take her spot. Now, look at 1 Thessalonians 5. Look at verse number 11, okay, verse 11 and 12. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, verse 12, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their works' sake. So Paul gives the people in Thessalonica here some important principles concerning them which labor among you. Do you see that in verse number 12? Them which labor among you. Paul is speaking of those who are in the work of the ministry at the church in Thessalonica. Now, this would include teachers. If the ministry of a church has a school, and ours does, then that would include teachers. You say, well, how do you know that they had teachers in Paul's day? How do you know they didn't? They might have had synagogue schools, folks, and from all the indications, they did have some sort of synagogue school. Now, this is a local New Testament church that Paul started. I don't know. But I know that the Bible was not a book just written for AD 54. The Bible was written for 2010. So it's a relevant book today. So it says there, know them which labor among you. That would include those who are teachers, okay? And in the ministry of our church. Now, I want to say just two things tonight, two different points. Break it down and we'll be done. Number one, I want you to see what Paul says about the teachers. In verse number 12, first of all, he says they labor. They labor. The word means, you teachers will like this, and I'm quoting now, feel fatigue, work hard, toil, and be wearied. Amen. That's what it means. Labor. This is not some kind of little laissez-faire, you know, halfway thing. I mean, buddy, this is working, okay? And this is true of those who teach in our academy. You see them here from 8:30 in the morning when you drop the children off, those of you that come to school here, and you see them again at 3 or so. But what you do not see is what has to be done that does not get done here. And that's an immense amount of work. I read about a little boy who was all upset and fretting because of a school assignment. He was just upset, and he said to the teacher, kind of put out, he said, do you get paid for teaching? And the teacher responded, well, of course we do. And the boy said, man, that's funny because we do all the work. So, you know, but that's a kid's point of view. That's not quite true. It was an eye-opener for me to have one of our teachers living in my house last year. First time. I had a daughter that taught, but she was married up in Elgin. I wasn't around. She was 2 hours away. But I had a daughter here last year, Abigail, who taught in our school and did a wonderful job. And my eyes were open to how much work goes into teaching. Whew. And she taught first and second grade. She taught the class that Susie's teaching this year. She had a wonderful time. But I'm telling you, friend, she was here at 8:10 for the teachers' meeting. It happens Monday through Friday. And then she was here a lot of times till 3:45, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And then at night, the nights that I would be home, she'd be there and she would have lesson plans and she'd have the self-preparation and she'd have the reading and she'd have the grading. And then the stuff that she would cut out to put on the walls for the bulletin boards and all the other stuff that goes in the classroom, it woke me up to how much labor goes into teaching school. Amen. It woke me up to how much labor goes into teaching school. So that's what Paul said. He said, they labor, they work, and they work long hours. And it's not just 8:30 to 3, I'll promise you that. It's a lot of time, away from the classroom, okay? And the way our school is structured, you know, these elementary school teachers, one of them has to be in the lunchroom when the kids eat lunch on a rotation basis. And so that means, you know, and then Faith does music over here. And, you know, it's a full day. And then a lot of times it's a full night. And I've seen that with my own two eyes in my own home. So he said they labor. Then he said they stand before. The second thing he said about these teachers is they stand before. You see that in verse number 12. And are over you in the Lord. That means to stand before. Teachers stand before their students. That is, they are in a position of authority at this church. If a parent chooses to put their child in the school, when they do that, they place them under the authority of that teacher for the time that they are in school. Now, we don't buy the thing that, you know, your kid becomes the school property when they're here. Your child never becomes anybody's property but yours. Actually, God's. Amen. Actually, God's. But I'm talking about as far as rules and policy and order and all that. When you enroll them in the school and you put them in class, you put them under the teacher's authority. So let me say, last Wednesday night, the principle that we taught last week about not criticizing those who are in authority in front of your kids would apply to the teachers as well. Be very smart not to criticize your child's teacher in front of them. Okay? In fact, you know, just don't criticize. Go talk to somebody. And, you know, it's not always easy. I remember when Diane Jacoby was teaching here and we had a parent-teacher conference and I was over in the other building. And for some reason, Diane was in this building and everybody was packing up and going home. And I think everybody was gone. I was coming out of that building, locking up. And I was walking over to my vehicle that was parked back here behind the office. And Diane was walking out and I just obviously noticed that she was just, I mean, the tears were just streaming down her cheeks. And I mean, just streaming down her cheeks. And I said, Diane, you all right? What's up? And she smiled and through tears said, it's okay. I said, did you get talked to by a parent? She said, yes. I said, was it pleasant? She said, no. Pretty ugly. And we talked for a few minutes standing out there in the parking lot. She's okay. She's a big girl. Tough girl. But it still hurt her. And, you know, there is a proper way to talk to somebody. Even when you disagree. It's a proper way to talk. And but I especially wouldn't talk my kid's teacher. You know, a kid has a lot of affection for a teacher. Well, when you start nailing them in front of them, that's no good, folks. He said they stand before you. So, man, if I'm a parent of a student, I'm gonna try to build my child's teacher in their eyes. If I have a problem, I can go make an appointment, talk Christian. Amen, Christian. Okay, so they stand before. And then he said they labor. He said they stand before. And then he said they admonish you. Verse number 12, the last three words. And admonish you. These are the people who work among you. Okay, they labor among you. That's what Paul's saying. Those folks who labor among you. That word admonish is an interesting word. It means to put in mind. When we think of the word admonition or admonish, a lot of times we think of it as in a negative sense. But not all admonition is negative. Some is. If at the end of the book of Titus, Paul told Titus to admonish the heretics. And after the second admonition, if they don't repent, you point them out. And that's in a negative sense, rebuke them. But some admonition, a lot of admonition, much of it is positive. You see, when teachers teach math and when teachers teach history and science and English or art or homemaking or whatever, their computer class, when they're teaching those subjects, they are putting in mind truth about those particular subjects. Okay? So they admonish the children. Now that's what they do. They labor and they stand before and they admonish the boys and girls in their class, the young people in their class. Now, I told the teachers this morning. In teaching, you cannot see the fruit of a day's work. Can't see that. You know, there are some professions, if you're a builder, You can see the fruit of a day's labor. You might have poured concrete, a concrete basement, you know, poured the walls. You might have put the trusses on top of the framed walls. You might have shingled the roof. But, you know, a lot of times in a certain profession, you can see the fruit of a day's labor. Brother Carr can, and thank God Brother James has got lots of work right now. That's a blessing, amen, and I guess there's still lots of work and hanging the good, amen, all right. And, you know, he lays that tile like he did out here in our floor. He gets back at the end of a day, he sees the fruit of a day's labor. And a lot of you men have jobs, even in paperwork jobs. You know, you get here, this is the to-do pile, and this is the done pile. And it's like this at the beginning of the day, when you clock out or when you get pulled away from your desk and go home, it's like this, and you can see the fruit of a day's work. But as a teacher, you can't see the fruit of a day's work. You really can't. It is invisible. Somebody said this, and remains so maybe for 20 years. In teaching, you cannot see the fruit of a day's work. It is invisible and remains so maybe for 20 years. I came in on Saturday morning last week, and there was one of these yellow sheets of paper. This is not the same one. This is a different one. This is to call somebody tomorrow. But there was one of these yellow sheets of paper in my tray, and it said Roy Burks. Called. How many of you remember Roy Burks? Remember Roy and Cynthia Burks? They're a black couple. Roy was tall, athletic, was in the Air Force, soft-spoken man, quiet man. You know what I'm talking about now? Okay. When they came to church here, Roy was already saved. I don't know that Cynthia was saved. I think she got saved here. I can't remember all. They got married here. After church, on a Sunday, because they weren't properly married, didn't have a living spouse, so right here, they got married. Had a little girl named Whitney. The first and second grade class was Tony Johnson and Whitney Burks. Salt and pepper. Amen. There was pepper before you, Brother Bibbs. Amen. Believe it or not. Amen. Did you know Roy? I think Roy was gone by the time you came. Yeah. Okay. He was a good guy. He never sat in the balcony. He always sat in the bottom floor. Roy. So I called him back Monday, and then he called me back, and then I called him back, and was that thing back and forth, and I think we finally touched base yesterday. And Roy, how you doing? He said, well, I'm doing fine. They said, let me bring you up to date. He said, about a little over two years ago, Cynthia's parents in Peoria got very sick and very ill, elderly. And he said, I was working in Florida, and he said, I'm still here in Florida. And he said, Cynthia, no pet to take care of mom and dad. So Cynthia and Whitney moved up to Peoria. And he said, for the last year and a half, I've been commuting from Florida to Illinois. About every 3 or 4 weeks, he leaves Florida, comes home, spends a weekend, 2 or 3, 4 days, and then goes back to his job. And he said, I'm trying to get transferred so I can get up there with my family. He said, but Cynthia's dad did pass away. But he said, that's not what I really called to tell you. What I called to tell you is Whitney's graduating this year from high school. And she is and he started listing the honors that girl's graduating. I wish I'd have written them down. I can't tell you all the valedictorian. I could not believe. He just went on. I mean, 5 or 6 honors that she is graduating with, National Honor Society. I mean, just, he said she has been accepted at Northwestern, at John Hopkins University, at University of Illinois, at Vassar University, and he named 2 others, and he said she's been accepted at Brown University, but is on a waiting list to get in. Now, somebody help me. Is Brown an Ivy League school? Yeah, so she's been accepted there, but she can't get in because she's on a waiting list, but she's already been approved. I'm actually going, he said, you know, Pastor, he said, I just... Cynthia and I feel like, and I wanted to call and say, we feel like she got the foundation of her education and her love for learning in her first and second grade at Faith Baptist Academy. She said, we just want to say thank you. And then he said, if you're not busy, could you come to her graduation? She'd love for you to come to her graduation. It's on a Wednesday night, and I'm in Texas with the Providence Tour Group. I've never done that in 30 years of ministry. I don't know how I'm going to like it. I got a feeling I'm not, but I'm going to give it a try. You know the thing. Go in. Hello, folks. These guys are going to sing. You know, all that stuff. So I got to preach 5 times in 3 days, I think. But anyway, it was on a Wednesday night, so it was here. I couldn't go anyway. But I said, send me an invitation, and I'll send her a card. Now, hear me. Kim Nemeth was her teacher. First and second grade. I told your wife this earlier tonight. She's in the nursery tonight. I said, I can't believe you're going to be in the nursery. Got a story to tell about you. First and second grade. Oh, Kim got big old tears in her eyes. You know, to look back at first and second grade and the time that Kim spent there with Whitney and Tony, you know, I mean, you know you're a flop with one. So, you know, no, I'm just teasing. I'm just teasing. I couldn't help that. I'm sorry. I'm teasing. Now, to look back, here's, you know, Tony Johnson and Whitney Burks. I'm not sure it was Tony and Whitney. She was a big girl. I remember that. And, you know, here you are 16 years later. And it's a fine young man. One that I think we respect around here and appreciate, Tony. And this girl with this kind of thing. Does it pay? You know, you don't know for 20 years. Isn't that something? And so you teachers, God bless you. You know, Henry Adams said this, a teacher affects eternity. He can never tell where his influence stops. Think about that. Whatever this young man and Brianna Frank, who will graduate here in just a couple of weeks, it's about two weeks from Friday. Whatever they do in life, they're going to touch somebody. You know they're going to touch somebody. And they'll probably touch somebody with something that somebody touched them with. Y'all with me? Okay. And how long does that go on? And especially when you're talking about teaching. So I say to the teachers, God bless you. You know, Paul said about these who labor among you, they labor, they stand before, they admonish you. Now, let me finish, and it'll take me just a second or two to say this. Look what Paul says to the students, okay? Look what Paul says to those who are in the church about the teachers, all right? Same three things. Number one, he says, know them. Look at verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them. This is not just to know who they are, but understand their role in your life. Be aware of their importance. And you children maybe that go to public school, you're not in our school or you're homeschool. Understand the importance of that one who teaches you. Consider their value. Appreciate the role that they play in your life. That's what he's saying. Know them. Don't just know who they are, but know them. Understand their role in your life. So he says, know them. Then he says, to esteem them highly in verse 13. He says, and to esteem them very highly in love. So esteem them highly. Give them the respect they are due. In fact, the Bible uses the word very, very highly. You know, in our efforts not to put people on a pedestal, we sometimes have fallen short of giving honor to whom honor is due. Now, I didn't write the Bible. God did. Under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, who these words came from the very breath of God, he said, those who labor, these teachers, you esteem them very highly. To esteem them very highly is not to worship them, but it is to understand that they deserve great respect. They deserve honor. They deserve respect. Look, folks, this is not them filling a, this is not them doing something because they can't do anything else in life. Some people have that attitude, you know, what if I can't do anything else, I guess I can be a teacher. Oh, really? We'll see how well that comes out. Everybody knows something, but not everybody can teach. You've got somebody that can stand in front of the boys and girls, you know. Our classes aren't this big. Who was it that said this? I was doing some reading on this here. I forget who said this, and our classes aren't this big, but you take the average maybe public school classroom, you know, 20 kids. How many is it? 30 kids in a public school classroom? Okay, 30 kids in a public school classroom. He said it would be like a doctor having 30 patients in his waiting room and tending to all of them at one time. for 6 hours. Be like a dentist having 30 patients. Each one of them needing a little bit different work. One needs a cleaning, one needs a filling, one needs a root canal, one needs a crown. Just the words make you sick, don't they, man? Good night. Here's a teacher, and our classes aren't that big, but she's standing up in front of, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, or 5, or 4, or whatever it is, young people, boys, girls, young men, young women. And, you know, brother, they're trying to transmit knowledge, and, you know, sometimes kids don't want to learn. Sometimes their minds wander. It's not the simplest thing to teach. I do it every Thursday, and I'm teaching college-age students, and sometimes I get, with college kids. I'm not that great a teacher. These folks are, Paul said, esteem them very highly. That doesn't mean worship. You shouldn't worship people. Well, then you explain what he means by that. Just reading it. He said, esteem them very highly. Give them great respect. It's not an easy profession. It certainly cannot be done by everybody. You young people ought to esteem your teachers, and you ought to, the parents ought to esteem the teacher of your children. And then he said, love them. And there's what you, that's where you get the church thing, okay? Love them in their, very highly in love for their work's sake. Love is a choice. Choose to love those who teach you. Young people, you choose to love those who teach you. You ought never say, I hate my teacher. First of all, you don't say that. I mean, you don't mean that. You're just reacting. You don't hate your teacher, but I would never say that. You love your teacher, and parents choose to love those who teach your children. Listen, the teachers do not teach in order to be loved. They're not looking to be loved, but they do love their students. And they do hope that, and I believe they appreciate your love and my love. I believe that. They teach because they are convinced it is God's will for their life. They're doing what God has for them to do, and they teach because they're convinced of you kids' life potential. Life potential. You know, that motivates me with young people. When I see these young people, these teenagers all scattered across here, and I see them in our school, they motivate me with their life's potential. Some incredibly talented kids here. And they're good kids. Got a good countenance. I appreciate that. And boy, that really motivates a teacher to come in and try to do their best to help that child reach their life's potential. So this is what Paul said about the teachers. He said, they labor, they stand before, and they admonish with positive things. Put in mind positive things. And Paul says, okay, now because they do that, you know them, and you esteem them very highly, and you love them for their work's sake because of what they do. And I hope that you'll do that. This is Teacher Appreciation Week. I'm not telling you to run out and buy a big gift, but I'll tell you one thing. A simple note that's heartfelt and sincere means an awful lot. I'd probably say every year, I will get one or two letters. Let's see, tomorrow's the last day teaching at the college. A week from Friday is graduation. Kyla graduates. Cindy Oswarty graduates. Amanda Harrison graduates. So, some of you are getting old. Amen. Amanda's graduating. But anyway, about every year, after college is over, I might get one or two letters from a student who says, I really enjoyed the class. I learned a lot. I appreciate the time you took to come up and be here. You know what? There's no gift card in there. There's no dollar bill in there. I don't need a gift card. I don't need a dollar bill. If they want to, they'd be fine. I'd take it, you know, but I'm just teasing. That note, y'all listening to me tonight? And so don't forget these things about the teachers. I want to say to Glenda, to Ms. Payne, and to Susie Mitchell, Faith Capps, and I wish Leah was here. I'm sorry she's not. Dawn Reardon, Sharon Thomason, I appreciate what y'all do. I wish I'd have done this before. And I look out, I see Trish Seaman sitting back here who taught in our school way back at the beginning. And I know Kim taught there. And I miss it some. Sarah teaches one class, and I appreciate that. But she's secretary, and she does teach a class. Cindy, you come in and help us with some Spanish students who need help. And I know I'm missing some people. Think about Susan that taught here for so many years. And I appreciate it. Thank you. This is Teacher Appreciation Week. Here's what we're going to do tonight with the offering. If you have church money, get it in an envelope. Everything that's loose, I'm going to take and split amongst those six ladies. Okay? We're going to split it up between Glenda and Susie and Faith and Leah and Dawn and Sharon. Whatever comes in, split it six ways. It'll be just a way of saying thank you. And that's what we'll do tonight. Fellas, grab the offering plates and let's get ready to take the offering. If you have church money, make sure you get it in an envelope. Okay, nope. If you don't want to give anything, you don't have to. But if you'd like to, here's an opportunity. Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate your help. Okay, let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you so much for your goodness to us. I thank you for these folks in our church who have over these years labored in the academy and what they have done, Lord. I think about the years of some of the folks who are not teaching now taught here and the time that they put in. And Lord, I'm not talking about pastoral staff guys and the secretaries who maybe filled in for a class. I'm talking about these who labored all day in a classroom. And I thank you for them and I pray that you'll bless them. And Lord, only eternity will reveal what influence they had. Thank you for Tony and Brianna, our graduates this year. And thank you for their accomplishments. Thank you for Whitney. Lord, for other folks who used to be in our school who've gone on and made great achievement. Thank you for that. Bless our time as we just give now out of appreciation. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us as we go home tonight with a safe journey. God, thank you. Thank you for letting me be a part of a place like this and enjoying working with these good people. In Jesus' name, amen.